So in the middle of the harchatos, we mentioned several different types of harchatos that must be kept during the time a woman is in nida. As a reminder, as more of a distance between husband and wife, not chas v'shalom to distance themselves in relationship, but to distance themselves physically. We even mentioned in the very beginning one of the side benefits. Of course, we don't know the mind of the Torah, but one of the side benefits for Taras Mishpacha is that a husband and wife can develop the entire gamut of the relationship from man to woman, not just always using the physical. Specifically, that yesod is important to keep in mind with the next group of harchatos. So Shulchan Aruch begins the harchatos with lo yekil roshim. A person is not allowed to have kalus rosh with his wife when she's in Eden. And kalus rosh has many different aspects. Kalus rosh means a person should not be specifically in a very loving, emotional, sexually way, which is more sexually, has sexual connotations, but it doesn't mean a person can't demonstrate the love, the care, and the concern. Even the most extreme phrase, I love you, is machlokes. There is some svarim from written in America a while ago that suggest a husband should not say to his wife, I love you, when she's anida. But it really depends on context. For example, the words, I love you, when a husband's running out to work, where he barely just streams to the house, I love you, means goodbye. It's another way of saying goodbye. As opposed to, let's say, if they sit at a candlelit dinner with just a few lights on and glasses of wine, he looks into her eyes and says, I love you. Very big difference between the two. So it's not the words per se, but it's the context. Which means Kalas Rosh specifically is going to lead to Erva. Does not mean they can't have a good time, although there are some Svarim that even write, they're not sure if it's correct for a husband and wife to play board games during the time that she's in Eden. We presume that's not considered Kalas Rosh. That's more of a way of relaxing together, which creates the emotional bond. We're not chas v'shalom trying to make any lessening of the emotional bond between husband and wife. Rather, we're trying to just make sure there's nothing physical about it. So, I would say, quite to the contrary. It's even more important during the time that she is in need of to express, to do things that are fun. Again, not frivolous, but fun, because it's important for husband and wife to remember the bond that exists. There are some husbands or wives that feel that during the period of nidus, they're a little bit awkward around their spouses. It's hard to understand. But they feel that there's this distancing physically, which leads to emotional disconnect, which is terrible. Emotional disconnect should not be there. It's important to focus on things which can bring them closer to one another emotionally, but not chas v'shalom with any physical aspect at all. So board games are important. Even dating. Dating is definitely okay. Dating is not a situation which is going to have kalas rosh when it's done properly. Dating is even more important during the time she's in nida to make sure that physical that emotional bond is there. Along the same lines, we discussed a little bit the concept of not going on pleasure trips with one's wife when she's in nida. So the din of pleasure trips, it's not a din in pleasure trips per se, it's a din in kalas rosh. I mean, if they're going to a place where, as the in Shirim depicted, a husband and his wife were a man and woman going down to a place which is very conducive to emotional connection, which is more physical, that's a problem. They're going to go on a hike. They enjoy hiking together. They don't want to hike. It could be the very same place that someone else would go, and that would be more of a secluded, emotional place, which is going to cause more of a loving feeling to the extent it's going to be more physically arousing. That's a problem. But for another couple that really likes hiking, even if they like hiking in the mountains in a secluded area that's not kalas rosh, then that would be okay. So it's important to use chacham in a verosho. What is kalas rosh is not only necessarily specific situations, but the whole general situation around. Right.
Does all of this change once they have more than one child at home all the time? When they have children?
So, let's say, in terms of doing things sometimes that might be considered more intimate, doing with a family would be different, for sure. That could be true. I mean, even if you're saying, let's say, husband and wife, you consider going on a hike in a secluded area more intimate. Once the kids are there, that's not intimate, that's being parents. Right. For sure, for sure. Yeah, exactly. Same. It's a good example of using your head not to point out the situation. To paraphrase Shakespeare, there's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So in a similar way, it's not in this issue of Kalas Rosh, it's not usur mutur per se, it's the entire situation, not just in the context, not just the situation itself. There's another halacha which doesn't come up that often. It's sort of a footnote. She's not allowed to draw his bath for him. Doesn't mean turn on a shower. She can't turn on the bath for him. She can't turn on the bath. So Usually it doesn't come up. She won't turn on the bathroom him when she is a nida. But otherwise, it's something which is by and large not so common. Perhaps one of the most important issues that comes up during the period of her chatos is, what about people knowing about it? What about someone noticing the couple's interaction, maybe most prominently, but not limited to the issue of passing, and that's something to make people feel awkward. People are going to know what the status in their marriage is, what part of the month it is. So firstly, the important yisod here is chacham ena v'rosho. It's important to be in a situation where you're going to think ahead. For example, one example, if they're at a whole family havdalah, and each person takes the besamim and passes it from one to another during the time of havdalah to make bracha on the besamim, and he's going to put it down on the table so she doesn't take it from him, might look a little bit strange. So what should they do? Perhaps it's today to be on different sides of the table. They happen to congregate in a different way. This way there's no need to look strange. There's a situation which is pointed out, perhaps the issue of passing, perhaps one could be made on the following situation. Let's say a husband is giving a lecture in front of 500 people. He gets up to be honored at a dinner, and he realizes he left his notes at his seat. So his wife, being a good wife, starts bringing his notes to him. He, being a good husband, doesn't want his wife to walk all the way up to the podium, so he starts walking back. And they meet in the middle of the auditorium with all eyes on them, and she realizes, oh no, I can't pass it to my husband. So she could do the, oh no, I dropped them trip that she cooks, and all of a sudden they all scatter, oh no. Okay, or I would say, chacham ena v'rosho, you're a very good husband, very good wife. If either of you see each other moving towards the middle, just wait till she brings it to the podium or till he brings it, goes back to the table. Don't get involved. So yes, perhaps if that happens, there's room to be made till she can pass it from him to her, from her to him, that would not be a problem. But why bother? It's one example. Try to think ahead. Be two steps ahead of the game. Don't create these situations. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein has an unbelievable tshuva in which he writes, he thinks the whole concept of being embarrassed during the period of Nidus is ridiculous. Think about the days of the Gemara, says Rav Moshe. The days of the Gemara, we talk about a case of Huchsuka Nida B'Shcheino Seha. A woman was known to be a Nida because her neighbors know she puts on her special Nida clothing. And that wasn't something to do with mood. Halachically, a woman needed to keep some begadim tahorim, some tameim. A woman was tameya when she was a nida, had an afterminah for everyone. If in theory she worked in the bakery, she couldn't knead the dough when she was a nida because it would make the dough tameh. When people had chul and altaris kodesh, everyone needed to know who was a nida. And it wasn't only for a woman. Everyone needed to know who was a valkari also. They needed to know who was tahor and who was tameh. So in the days of tumah v'taharah, says Rav Moshe, even though the origination of Nido, Zava, Valkeri, Zav, all come from private parts of the body, people need to know the situation because they need to know what happens for Tumah V'Tahara. So Rav Moshe writes, so now in a phenomenon, now we lost that aspect of Nida being Nodea anyone else. But Rav Moshe says, it shows you that objectively it's not an embarrassing thing because people knew about it. So Rav Moshe writes, with Nida especially, it's perhaps even more, it's even less embarrassing because everyone knows for a healthy woman, half the month she's a nida, half the month she's not. That's normal. It's not a private thing. They don't need to know which half the month. But Rav Moshe writes, there's no need to feel so embarrassed. So the emotional part, Rav Moshe can't tell a person how to feel emotionally. Emotionally, many people feel awkward about the situation of being a nida. They feel they don't want people to know, which is, they're welcome to feel that they don't want people to know. But Rav Moshe is just showing how to violate halacha chas v'shalom because of that is something which is incorrect. Yes, people might know, and you'd rather them not know. So number one, keep it under wraps. Try to think ahead. If it happens every so often that people know, Rav Moshe says, keep in contact. It's not the worst thing in the world. So again, to reach the madriga of Rav Moshe, that it's, come on, this is halakha, halakha Jew. I don't care. Let people know, let people don't know. That's a little bit far. Let's use that to temper the embarrassment people have is a very important thing. Rav Moshe writes, don't feel so embarrassed. Again, I'm not saying you have to reach Rav Moshe's level of saying it's totally fine, I'll just need a shayla in public. No, it's normal to feel private about it, but it's important to use that within reason. Along the same lines, the Ramah writes that the minhag in Klal Yisrael is for a woman to hide the night she's going to the mikvah. She's supposed to keep it more private. Why? Because there's only one reason a woman goes to the mikvah nowadays, which is to be with her husband. So Rav Moshe writes, it used to be in the days that woman was a nida, which had nafmina for tumah v'tara, for touch from the taris, then they weren't necessarily makbid on keeping it quiet, because everyone knew, okay, now she can work in the bakery again. But if it's only nodiah her husband, it's sort of saying, I'm going to be with my husband tonight. And that's princess lift. We don't necessarily want to emphasize that. But that also has to be kept within reason. It's true, a woman should try to be as soon as she can. A husband should ask the Rav Shilas about nida in private. But the concept of people being so private about going to the mikvah, which sometimes spills over to asking Shilas, is incorrect. They have to keep in mind, to a Rav, this is a very beautiful part of halacha. No different than Shabbos, Kashrus, and every Rav uses it as a privilege to help people with Taras Mishpacha. That's not something which they should feel embarrassed about. Not even as like a doctor. It's even better than a doctor. It's a person that you respect in Ruchnius. You shouldn't feel awkward asking the Shiloh. Same thing is true with going to the mikvah. Ideally, no one should know when a woman goes to the mikvah. But what if the woman needs someone to help? So I mentioned previously, what if, let's say, it's a Friday night or a Yantif night or a time that her husband's not home? To ask one woman to come over and help watch the family as she's going to go away, that's not a violation of the Ramah. The Ramah says we try, bizman hazeh, to keep it quiet, within reason. There's a certain mikvah built in the greater metropolitan area that has codes. It was built sort of before cell phones became so popular. So there's a way for a husband to drive up to the parking lot to put in a certain code, which is going to go directly to his wife's room, to ask her if she is going to, if she's ready yet. No one else knows what's going on, and when they leave, the exit is that no person ever sees another person. The chas don't know she sees each other in the mikvah. Very nice, but I think that can also breed within a person's mind the fact that, oh, it's something to be embarrassed about. Yeah, it's nice. In the old-fashioned small mikvahs, people are there. You see somebody, you say hello. Of course, there's most mikvahs have more than one room. We don't try to make everyone wait in the common waiting room. But if you see someone, okay, that happens. It's normal. That's the Hashem made people. People go to the mikvah. It's a very normal thing to feel and keep in mind. And it's important to emphasize that because one should never feel that the expense of privacy, that privacy should be kept at the expense of halacha. It's important to keep that not only the practical aspect, but the mentality as well. You should keep it private, but within reason. The next aspect we're going to begin of Taras Mishpacha is known as the most difficult part of Nida, but it's misnomer. All the intricate details of Vestos, of a woman's cycle, are a little bit overwhelming, but the halachas we're going to learn are pashut and pretty simple. That being said, it's not uncommon for a person to learn these halachas now, and to be married and realize, hold on a second, I didn't really appreciate what's going on. Let's have that again. So be prepared. We're now going to go through the fundamentals of Vestos, but it's not unheard of. In fact, it's very, very common that after a person's married, to speak to a person that he feels comfortable consulting with, to review what his specific situation is. What is a Vestos? It's funny, the word Vestos is a machlokes in the world, how to be pronounced, and sometimes the part of the world that often pronounces things in Sfaradit uses Ashkenazis, and the part of the world that usually says things in Ashkenazis uses Sfaradit. The word Veses, Vav, Samach, Tav, means a cycle. So often we call it Vestos or Visasos. Rav Shechter often says Visasos, and while you often we say Visasos, and the rest of the world often calls them Vestos, even though that's really Sfaradit. Either way, it's the same thing, whatever you call it. It means a cycle. Veses means a pattern. We mention it in Tinos. It's used in Tinos to talk about the Veses of the Kohanim. The Kohanim's Veses when they served in the Beis HaMikdash. Veses means a pattern, a cycle. And a Veses is an attempt in halacha trying to predict when a woman's next period is going to be. We know in the financial industry as well as in halacha, past performance is no guarantee of future results, but we try as best as we can to predict when a woman's going to see her next period, and by that, protect the husband and wife from chas v'shalom being together when she is in nida. There's two types of vesasos. There's veses kavua and veses shena kavua. Veses kavua, type of veses that might be familiar from those that have done Bava Kama in the beginning. Veses kavua is a veses which happens at least three times, which establishes a very solid pattern. However, most women in Zman Hazeh do not have veses kavua. We don't know exactly why, we don't know what changed, we don't know what happened. Look on the Shulchan Aruch talks about it as an anomaly. Veses she'eino kavua. Most women, though, nowadays, ruba de ruba have veses she'eino kavua. That means the veses they have is sporadic. Their period is somewhere around every 30 days, but sometimes 28 days, sometimes 34 days, somewhere around 30, but very much, much more elaborate than it was in the days of the Gemara. The days of the Gemara was normal. This week, this month, this month, this month. Some women even pinned it down to the hour. But nowadays it's very, very, very uncommon. Vestas Kavua and Vestas Shena Kavua are pretty similar. There are certain things you have to do for Vestas Shena Kavua. And we're not really going to focus on Vestas Shena Kavua, by and large, because it's so uncommon. Just know, if you happen to notice... I'm sorry, Vestas Kavua, thank you. We're not going to focus on Vestas Kavua that much because it's so uncommon. Just know, if you happen to notice that you're in a situation of Vestas Kavua, where it's the exact same time that we'll talk about every month, then Esther Shaila, because there are a few more chumras that might apply. But we're not even going to focus on it, because by and large, it is not so Rodeh. What must be done during a Vestas, both Kavua and Inner Kavua? The first thing that we presume must be done during a Vestas is that a woman has to do a bedika. If today is her Vestas, she has to check herself and see if her period started yet. And for some Vestasos, we'll describe the difference between different types of Vestos in a few minutes. If she does not check, she's asur until she checks. So let's say today is her Vestas, she forgets to check, and now it's Shabbos. She still is going to be prohibited to her husband until she checks on Shabbos. We don't say, oh, since the Vestas time passed, she's start free. No, she's asur until she checks. Frank.
What does it mean today is her Vestas? Like, it's the end of the month?
Or? Well, we'll talk about what determines a Vestas, but whatever day she's expecting her period, whatever day that is, for whatever reason, she has to check herself that day. The next thing that must be done, perhaps the most important halacha of the Vestasos, even more important than a bedika, is that husband and wife cannot have tashmish during the time that she's expecting her period. That means, come what may, they can't be together. Even if her bedika comes out tahora, she knows her period didn't start yet, she's still asura to her husband during that entire period of the Vestas. What is a Vestas? So firstly, first rule of Vestasos is that a Vestas only occurs on either a day or a night. So whatever time a woman is going to expect her Vestas, which again we'll get to in a few minutes, the only period which is prohibited is either day or night. For example, now we're in the winter, so it's going to even be less than 12 hours. Let's say her Vestas is today. It's going to be from sunrise to sunset today, which is probably 10 hours. What if her Vestas is at night? Then it's going to be 14 hours approximately. So it's day or night. It's not necessarily 12 straight hours. It's either day or night. One or the other, but not both. There is one famous chumra of the Arz Aruah. The Arz Aruah maintains that whenever a woman's Vestas is, the previous ona, the previous day or night, is prohibited as well. Don't confuse this with the halacha that we have in Jewish law that night always begins the day, because let's say a woman's Vestas is tonight. Arzura would say her Vestas is tonight, she's Asura today as well. So it's not always night then day. If it's going to be night, the day is going to be before. But Arzura, the strict halacha Vestas, the Shulchan Aruch questions, is only day or night that she's expecting her period, for whatever reason that we'll see in a minute. But the Arzura adds, as the Shach quotes, that it's going to be halacha not only for the day or night, but the previous night or day as well. Hashvi Pastin, there's definitely strong room to be makel, not like there's a ruach. Shulchan Aruch Pastin is lahakel. But this is another area, Asei L'Charav, whoever you ask for Shailos to, ask him about if you should be kosher for the Chumra of Yerz Ruach as well. What are the Vestos? Three types of Vestos. The first Vestos is Vestas HaChodesh. Vestas HaChodesh is very simple. Whatever date of the month, in Hebrew, her last period was, is going to be Aser and Tashmish, the next date of the next month as well.
Hebrew.
So let's say Yudimel Cheshvan, she had her period 1 month. Then Yudimel Kislev is going to be her Vestas the next month. Very simple, very straightforward. Just take the month. And the halacha is maintaining that there's a reason, which it's hard for us to understand Metzias-wise, that the date of the month, not even Chiddush HaLevana, because we're talking about even where in contemporary times there's no Levana, it's the fact that it's a certain day of the month, the halakhic day could create a situation which is going to bring a woman's period.
Beginning
of her period, correct. So if her period begins on Yudimel Cheshvan last month, she's going to be Choshet Yudimel Kislev this month. Again, if it's night, she's Choshet night, day, Choshet day. Which is why, as a rule of thumb, since Vestas could be confusing, it's always good for whenever a woman sees her period, whenever her period starts, to write down on a calendar that she has what time her period began. So she has a date, she has a time. Because if you think about it, calendar is very hard to use, because the calendar, let's say the calendar is going to represent Yudal Cheshvan. But really, Yudal Cheshvan began the night before, which is really on the box of Yudim Cheshvan, or certainly let's say October 19th. So it's always a good rule of thumb, especially when a woman is getting used to Vestos, to write down the date and the time of the day that she had her period. This way, if she ever realizes that she made a mistake, you can always go back to when she saw it. So don't be confused with the calendars. They're sometimes hard to use. Write down the time of a woman's period. This way a woman knows exactly when her Vestas is going to be. She'll calculate. If it's Yudim Cheshvan at night, there's going to be Yudim Cheshvan the next Yudim Kislev next month at night. It's a very simple Vestas. And then she's going to be Asura to her husband. But for this Vestas and the next Vestas, there's Machlokes, Rav Willard, and many other poskim. The standard approach that we have, this is what I said so far, that for Vestas, whether it's Kavua or Enor Kavua, there are two things that must be done. Number one is Prisha. Number two is Bedika. However, the Sechi Bedika seems to be Machlokes between the Mechaber and the Mechaber. Between Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, and Mechaber and Beis Yosef. In Beis Yosef, it seems to be clear that the Beis Yosef holds the only time there's a Chi of Bedika is for Vestas Kavua. But for Vestas Shener Kavua, there's absolutely no Chi of Bedika. So we mentioned Chi of Bedika as something which has to be done. According to the Beis Yosef, that's only true for Vestas Kavua. Vestas Shener Kavua does not need Bedika altogether. Prisha again, Prisha for sure, Chi of Prisha, but there's no Chi of Bedika for Vestas Shener Kavua. Who disagrees? Again, the Mechaber, because in Shulchan Aruch, he puts them all together, and Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying that there's a Chiyuv Bedika for all. This is the classic Machlokas. What do you do if there's a Machlokas, Mechaber, and Beis Yosef? Do we say that the Beis Yosef was more elaborate and the Shulchan Aruch is only a Kitzer? Or no, he's Chozer Bo from the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch, which he wrote later. Machlokas of Postum. So the standard approach in Postum is a woman is a Chiyuv Bedika on all Vesas. Let's say Vesas Chodesh as well, even though it's Einar Kavua. However, Rav Willard's opinion is, which again is Mufurishin Beis Yosef, that there's no need to do Bedika on any Vesas Shein or Kavua. So, that's an issue of Seil Charav. Whoever you ask Shilohs to, ask them. We never do Bedikos unnecessarily. Just know, this is Machlokas, the standard minute element to do Bedikos in all of these Vestos. But the rule of the thing is, only Vesas Kavua. The next Vesas is Vesas Haflaga. Haflaga means space, stripping from one to another. Here, it's not the date of the month, but it's the amount of days between two periods. For example, let's say a woman knows that last month, it took her 28 days in her period. That means that from Tishrei to Cheshvan, she had her period 28 days after her last period. So from two periods ago to this most recent period was 28 days. That means from this period to next period, she's Chosheshes is also 28 days. It's not a function of the date on the calendar, but of the amount of days between them. So she should take a calendar count. Oh, I had a period 2 periods ago. How many days did it take for me to reach from 2 periods ago to the most recent period? And then once she has her most recent period, forecast from that period to the next period. This is how fun. Again, for most women that's Veshashana Kavua, only Chi Prisha, no Chi Bedika. Altogether. Just to illustrate the situation.
So there's no
particular
for this month?
Well, this is the same Machlokas as the world. Same Machlokas, right. So, let's say she has. To clarify. It sounds very confusing, but Lamaisa is really very simple. As you'll see, let's say she starts making a few months. Make sure my mathematical situation so far is good. So my numbers are correct. Nothing out of order. Thank you. So let's say her period was in the first month that she's aware of. Let's say her period was on the 24th of the month. That's when her period was. Then her next period, let's say her period was here. What should happen? She should, in theory, have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When is going to be her Esther Tara? Here, not before day 5. Then Zainidim. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. She does the mitzvah that Friday night. So if we do this from previous shurim, that should be pretty basic. And let's say this is a bit of an anomaly. Let's say she has her period a few days later. Let's say it's 9, it's not common, but it's for just using our calendar, works it easier. She has her period on day 9 of the next month. It's fine, she's only there for a few days. So again, it's not common. That's the situation. So when she's chosheshes, and now let's say it's the 18th of the month. But she's trying to forecast, when are my vesasos going to come up? So what's the first vesas she's going to have? She knows, very simple, is vesas hachodesh, 9th of the month. She's chosheshes for her next vesas, for sure. Now, what about a situation of vesas hafadra? Just to know how many days elapsed between the last two periods. So how many days? And the rule for vesas hafadra is we always count both endpoints. So we'll count day 24 and day 9. Count with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16-day between period A and period B. So now, she's chosheshes for the next month. When should she be chosheshes? Her period is going to come up?
16 days.
1. Again, we count to look what I did. I count to day 9 again. Day 9 is always, even though it was the count last time, it counts again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. She's chosheshes on 25 and 3. It's funny. We did that at the same time it was last month, but it's unrelated. It just happens to be food. 24, she's chosheshes on day 24. That's Safara.
She should look out for both of them?
So in both of those, yes, these are not usual sources, both are required. She has to be chosheshes for Vesas HaFlaga and do a Vedita according to most of the world, not according to Rav Willig, and be Osir and Tashmish. And the same thing is true for the ninth. She has to be, she's Osir and Tashmish, and according to the rest of the world, Vedita according to Rav Willig, no need for Vedita. Those are the two processes she'd have so far. And according to the Zerua, let's say, if this was during the day, then she'll be a Surah of the night as well, both of those. That's the Surah of the Shumra that applies. Adam?
Never mind.
Right.
Anytime before or after she's allowed.
Right. If 100%. That's material. We presume, although it's a destruction, we presume once she has one Queen Vedita, she doesn't need to be Choshesh that her period is coming in every time after the Vesas do Vedita. No, once she does Vedita, then she's totally material until she ends her period. The third type of Vesas is most complex, not necessarily because of numbers, but because this is the one time that even for a woman, when we have a Vesas She'ena Kavua, it's considered a Vesas Kavua. This is the honorary Vesas Kavua for any woman, called Ona Beinonis. Means the average Vesas. And Chazal were telling us that even though her period is irregular, the average period is approximately 30 days. Therefore, this woman is given an honorary Vesas Kavua of 30 days. Which means, before we see the exact way 30 days works, automatically, is she a Surah Tashmish? Yes. But the Chiddush here is that here, as we mentioned, the din of Vesas Kavua, according to everyone, she must do Bedika. And if she doesn't do Bedika, she's a Surah until she does. Everyone agrees in the previous two Vesasos that if she missed the boat, let's say her Vesas was today and she's at work, it's already 3:27, she has another hour to Bedika, she forgets to do Bedika. Over Zmano, Bato Kabano. If she did it, if she forgot to the other, she's Muteres. The only time that a Bedika is Ma'akev altogether is by Besa Shavua or by Besa Tafod. But again, these two Besasos that were in a Kavua, maybe she has to do Bidika, maybe not. But everyone agrees that if she forgot to do Bidika, she's with Teres Ladami. There's no need to. By both. Any Besa Shein or Kavua. Any Besa Shein or Kavua, again, there's a Chiyav Bidika according to some, according to the world, no Chiyav Bidika. But everyone agrees, if the Bidika was not done, she's with Teres. The one exception is either Besas Kavua or Besa Shein or Kavua. But that's Tafado. I'm sorry, but on a Unabedness. So Unabedness is called the average Vesis Kavua for a person with no other Vesis. What's Unabedness? We presume that Unabedness is a Vesis of 30 days. So, again, let's say her Vesis was on the 9th. I'm sorry, her period most recently was on the 9th. So count 30 days, counting both days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Happens to be on the same day as the Sechodesh, is unavailableness. Half the year, unavailableness will be the exact same month as the Sechodesh, because we know months function between 29 and 30 days. So either it'll be the same day or one day off. That's always what's right to happen. The difference is, unavailableness, there is the Chumrah of Bidika and it's Ma'achid. The Sechodesh, maybe Bidika, maybe not, but even if she doesn't, then it's definitely not Ma'akev B'diyeret. It happens to be Ma'akokas, L'halacha, what unavailableness is. Although Rov Postman presume for sure that it's 30 days, there is some Postman that presume unavailableness is 31 days. So, this is another area of Kaseh L'Karav. Ask whoever you have Shilos to if you should be Choshesh for just day 30, just day 31, or 30 and 31. Well, Ma'isa, does it make such a difference? It's only going to be 6 days a year that you're adding by adding 31, because half the year, it's either 30 or 31 is included anyway. But Ma'isa still, there's no reason to make 6 days for no reason. But ask the child. Just know the Pashas is 30 days, for sure. But some say 31, some would say to be Choshesh for both. Also, some would say, and this is not a Pshat, some would say, even if you're not to be Choshesh for Yozeruah in general, be Choshesh for Yozeruah, but on a Bainus, it's not a Bainus, it's more of a Chumrah, the Bichosh is there. Don't decide this yourself. Ask for every Shilos to. There's an Atiyah many postmen have, as the Gemara already says, is that Vesis Adrabanon. And this postman won't necessarily enunciate, but a lot of postmen are more Makel and Vesasos as well as in general, since we know Vesasos so often are not really predictors of what's going to happen. So to be Mvatled in a Vesis is something which we're not going to do, Chas V'Shalom. But to be more Makel is Mafokas. And Vesasos is not so hard, because Lamaisa. We know halacha ma'aseh, the proof's in the pudding, and the pudding is not there. So that's something which, off the record, that's not something which is an approach of Pesach, a person can use himself, but just know that it's an atiyah some folks can have is that we're more making on the Vesasos again. The Gemara says Vesasos Rabbanon, and aside from that, we know that Vesasos aren't such accurate predictors altogether. Those are the three Vesasos to know. Again, that's the flood of the Chodesh on the Bainness. And the only one which is ma'akev, the belief is ma'akev, is vesafadra, not, I'm sorry, the only one which is ma'akev is onavainness, not a flaga or hachodesh, if they're in a kavu. Yeah, Adam.
What about vesafainness?
So it's so uncommon. Other vesafas exist. There's a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch, the longest simon in Hilchos Nida is about vesafas. One of the longest simon is about vesafas. And that din, those most of the Vesasos quoted in that Siman Shulchan Aruch just don't happen. So it's one, let's say, certain days, certain times of the day, certain things. We even presume, Bepashtus, Vesos that come from situations that, let's say, a woman does Klitzos or something else that she does, is very uncommon. For a woman to say she can correlate something that happens externally with her period is very uncommon. In fact, even for most women, what people mistakenly say is a vesas is menstrual cramps. Whether she has cramps, she has a headache. What the Gemara talks about, the Rambam's pastors, Rosh HaKvedolela, she has a certain headache, a certain type of cramp that tells her a period is coming, that could be a vesas. Lamaisa, by and large, that's not a vesas. Why not? Number one, there's a machokas opposed to how close it has to be to the vesas. It might have to be that it's right before her re'iyah. But number two, a vesas only means something which is unique, dafka teriyas dam. But most people have headaches. In fact, that's why they have Excedrin, Advil, Tylenol, they make millions and millions and millions of dollars from headaches that are not just menstrual headaches. People have stomach aches that are not just menstrual. So if a woman has one she knows is only menstrual, then you can start talking about VSS. But by and large, even people that have menstrual cramps or situations that are related to her periods occur other parts of her month as well. Since they're not miyuchad to menstruation, they're not going to consider it a VSS at all. Yes, these are all included. These are, one does not preclude the other. The halacha is, I mentioned we're not going to talk about onavenus, so just I'm not going to talk about vesas kavua. But lamaisa, if a woman has a real vesas kavua, she has no other vesas. All these go down the drain. Let's say if she knows, let's say every single month, she sees only on the 24th of the month, let's say for 3 months straight, then she doesn't have any other vesas. That's true, but we're not really talking about that because most women are not kavua, so therefore. It's not going to apply. In fact, even if she knows it's the ninth of the month, but one time it's the night, one time it's the day, that's not vesas kavua. It has to be the exact same ona, day or night, for three times.
Vesas kavua is based on day and month, or this
any of the above. No, or anything could be vesas kavua. I'm giving an example of day and month. Hafodah, any, if she has whatever vesas kavua she would have, hafodah has to be four, we presume, because hafodah you need three spaces, right, which is four, but it's highly uncommon. Yeah, it happens that it'll obviate any other vesas. But in theory, it could happen that she has no other vessels. Since it's so uncommon, we're not really going to focus on those situations. So she's going to have all three of these vessels.
What do you mean, like, it's been out if the last person been in? If she didn't do.
Then she has to do vidita. She can't be with her husband until she does vidita. We don't say she's a surah until her period comes, but we say that she has to. If she didn't do vidita, let's say today is her vessels. Today is her own abandonness. Mm-hmm. And she's at work, she forgot to do vidita. And tonight she wants to be with her husband. She has to check tonight beforehand. She can't be with her husband until she checks, no matter what.
Who does become the husband or the wife?
Usually it's the wife. Usually the wife. Yeah, now they have fancy computer programs that help do vesasos, I think. I'm not familiar with them, but it could be there today. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. If anyone has any experience, let me know. But there are programs, but usually it's pretty simple. And then it's a little bit overwhelming, perhaps, but it's really not so hard once you get the hang of it. When does the vesas begin? We mentioned when the vesas exists, but what starts a vesas? The Shulchan Aruch tells us, "Ein b'ksamim mishum veses." Spotting is not a period. This is a classic mistake people make with vesasos. They think that when a woman spots, then she's going to have her veses. But it's not true. Veses means when the period starts as a real period. It's very possible that means for a woman to be asura to her husband, but not to mark that day as the yom veses. Why? For example, a woman is able to have a day which she has kesem, which is larger than her dris. But it's by no means her normal flow, and that's going to be a situation where she's going to have a iser nida, but not her vesas yet. Because her vesas is only when the period really starts. So, period starts, as we mentioned, means she has ribui dam, a lot of dam, then it's going to start. But there are chlal, that's not considered a vesas, the chlal. The Shulchan Aruch included in Ein Mitzvah Mishum Veses seems to tell us that if a woman does a bedita, then that's different. If she does a bedita and finds a kesem, she finds that she's tahara, then that's considered a veses. However, the only major posek that I'm aware of that postulates that if a woman does a bedita and her period didn't start yet, the bedita is going to make her into a nida and start a veses that day is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe postulates in a tshuva that if a woman has a kesem, which makes her, even as Surah, her vesas still is not going to start, so her period really starts. But says Rav Moshe, based on the Pashas and the Shulchan Aruch, that if a woman is a bedika, an internal examination, and finds herself Tamea, that day will be considered the day her period starts, and we mark that as the day of the vesas. However, as the Ravadi points out, Minad Ha'olam is to disagree. Rav Moshe, by and large, is not accepted by the other postmen. Most postmen presume the exact same idea that we just mentioned. The only thing which begins a veses is a real period. There's no real period, even if she's a surah because there's a bedika, that's not considered a veses. So this is, no, Machlokes Rav Moshe and Minhag HaOlam. Many, here you have to ask whoever you have shalos to what the psak is. Rav Moshe does write that in tshuva, like the pashas of Shulchan Aruch, but the vast majority of the post of Minhag HaOlam is to say that's not true. We don't presume that a bedika is going to create the day of the veses, even though she's a surah, even though it's a serious sister, but we're not going to say the bedika is going to cause the veses. It has to be the real period, the real flow starts. Until the real flow starts, she's going to be considered as having perhaps an iser, but no veses yet. What's the halacha if a woman has a serious situation where she's going to be mutaris to her husband, but she knows her period's coming? Let's say she knows she's already spotted, and in her experience she knows that by tonight she's going to be already in nidah. Let's say she only starts for a few hours beforehand. So is her vessel going to be today? No, only tonight. But just to bring back what we mentioned before, it might be kedai for them to start keeping her chatos already today, because if they do, then she can already count today as day number one for the 5 days. So just keep that in mind. As far as vestos, her vestos is only going to be tonight. But if they start keeping her chatos today, then in terms of the 5 days, which is only just a concern of chatos shuklazera, she's going to actually be able to count today as one of the 5 days, and that might work out better for her schedule. So it's up to her.
Her chatos are during the...
Her chatos is really only when she's in nida. But if she knows she's going to become in nida soon, so she's definitely tahara. But if they maintain a chumra themselves, which they're not going to change, she knows her period is going to come tonight, then it might be helpful for her to already start keeping her chatos, tashmish and all the other chatos already today. This way the 5 days are going to start from today, and she can go to the mikvah earlier. If she knows her period lasts, always lasts 6 days, there's no milo. But again, it's an important thing to keep in mind from before. For she knows her period is going to come soon, she might be glad for her to lose a few hours with her husband and start a day earlier rather than to wait for later. That's just the advice. Sometimes you're taking a risk, because let's say her period doesn't come for another 2 days, she lost 2 days with her husband, keeping her chatos for no reason. But just keep that idea in mind from the idea before. What's considered day, what's considered night? We mentioned that we go based upon sunrise, sunset. Even though there's a machokas hapostim in general, from shakras, mincha marav, when does the day start? Is it day or night? Shachar tells us that as far as vestos, I'm sorry, is it sunrise, or is it dawn, or is it sunset or dusk? The Shulchan Aruch pastens that as far as vestos, it's always based on sunrise and sunset. That's always the way it works. And the basic concept of vesasos should again be reviewed. Sometimes it can be confusing, and just be aware of the way calendars work. Just keep in mind this, some of the mistakes that people can sometimes make. Any questions on the vestos before we go further? The last part of the shirim is something which one can elaborate on for a lot of time. The concept of marital intimacy in halacha. In hashtafas ha'olam, we know there are different approaches to intimacy, from the Christian approach, which is views sexuality as dirty, to the approach of the street, which views it as very free. We know that tashrish hamita, sexuality itself, is a very important part of the marital relationship. It's essential. Dr. Shulchan Aruch even talks about it's me'onel Shabbos. So that is just one example of many which emphasizes the fact that it's a very essential part of married life. The details, I mentioned, usually I talk about nechatz shmuz, a person is welcome to avail themselves of that opportunity if they'd like, but it's important to just emphasize some basic aspects of our hashtafa to sexuality. Number one, the basic din we already discussed is that there's only two things that make a woman into a nida, a halacha, on the first night together. Number one, either complete penetration, total penetration of total kinesis aver, or mitzas bia, but she's actually bleeding. Those are two things to keep in mind. But don't be afraid to ask a shayla if it comes up, because often it's easy to know the klalim, but to understand what happens in your situation is not always so kasha. There's a very small halacha in Hilchos Derech Eretz between husband and wife, that a husband's not allowed to be with his wife when she's sleeping. She's sleeping. How often does it come up? It's not so prevalent. But that halacha speaks volumes about our approach to sexuality. Because in Kabbalah, the Sifrei Machshava, the pasuk Yishakenim Nishikos Pihu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kisses Klal Yisrael, is used as a trans expression of love. What's unique about a kiss? In a kiss on the mouth, one's both giving and receiving at the same time. Nishichos pihu, one can give and receive. That's our model for sexuality. There has to be a situation where a person is both giving and receiving. If a person is in a situation where only he's deriving pleasure and it's impossible for his wife to derive pleasure because she's sleeping, that borders on pornography. Pornography, if you think about it, really is just receiving. It's taking excitement from the world. There's no relationship. If it's impossible for the husband to give his wife pleasure, that's considered prohibited. It doesn't mean that every time the husband and wife are together, there's always going to be shared pleasure. That's a separate discussion. But it has to be in theory possible. If she's asleep where it's only him and there's no connection between him and her, that itself is frowned upon by Yiddishkeit, because the beauty of the bedroom is that a husband and wife can bond together. It's a very important part of marriage, but a part which they can go through together. But physiologically speaking, it's not always so simple. Men are wired differently than women. Part of the issue we talked about in the Chasen Shmuz, and it's important to discuss the basic way of a husband and wife connecting themselves. But the yisod, the concept of husband and wife being in a mutually giving relationship, is a very important yisod to keep in mind. Also, one other issue as far as the global issue of Taras Mishpacha in terms of the bias is that sometimes we always talk about, oh, shalom bayis. Shalom bayis is an easy word to say, but think about the power of the word. Shalom is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom means bringing the Shechina into one's own house. That's a powerful, powerful designation for what happens when husband and wife are harmonious. But it's not always so easy. Sometimes it's not so possible for husband and wife to get along together. And it doesn't mean that there's a psychological problem they're having. It means sometimes the idea of a seil charav, ask another person, sha'alav yichav yadecha, is something that's very important to keep in mind. Often there are humps, there are bumps along the way that a person is going to experience, which really are normal. It's important sometimes to feel that one has confidence in another person to speak to, if necessary, to a counselor or a rav that are going to give real advice, which is beautiful. But even aside from an acute problem, a situation where a person can feel comfortable asking others that he trusts to know what's normal, what's not normal. One example is, let's say, Shana Rishona. Shana Rishona is a time everyone thinks is, oh, this is great. There's absolutely no yichud problems, no parents that we have to report to, how far when we come back, no location issues that I have to drop off my wife because she's not my wife, we live in the same class. This is it, a year of dates. No kids that are going to make our schedules go awry. It's fantastic. Then people realize Shana Rishona is a tremendous time of adjustment. He and she love each other very much, but they never had to adjust to another person so much. And they feel, oh no, my Shana Rishona, I'm getting upset at her, she's getting upset at me. Every night there's another issue we have. I'm ruining Shana Rishona. Little do they know, that's normal for Shana Rishona. It's very normal, it's a time of adjustment. That's part of the beauty. It's part of an investment in the future. That's just one example of how, first of all, it's normal to know that it's normal to have disagreements throughout marriage. That's the beauty of marriage. It's not if there's disagreements or not, but it's how the couple emerges after disagreement. But expectations play such an important role in life. If you expect Shana Rishona to be just a honeymoon for a year, then you see the reality that it's not, because they're very disappointed. If you don't know, Shana Rishona is a time of working together. That's right. There are going to be bumps, but they're not bumps. They're rungs along the ladder of growth. Then it's all different situation. People can grow and grow and grow. We're building a beautiful bayis. Please feel free to contact me through my cell phone, email, or in person, both for the Chasen Shmuz and in general. And everyone should have a lot of hatzlacha and simcha and saras tovos. This concludes the formal shiur of Chasen Shmuz. Anyone has any questions, please feel free to. That's it.